You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound, first broadcast on the 12th of December 2011 on Monocle 24. Culture with Robert Bound, brought to you in association with Mercedes-Benz. Hello and welcome to the 9th edition of Culture with me, Robert Bound. Today we're testing our transistors and flirting our way through the frequencies as we dedicate an entire show to our favourite broadcast medium, it's radio. We'll be joined in the studio by British broadcasting legend Trevor Dann and creative director at Folder Media, a radio and new media consultancy, Matt Deegan, who will be helping us to understand why the medium is still very much alive and well and thriving.
It's just the most simple form of communication. It's a person's voice talking to you in your head, but it's utterly compelling.
We'll also be talking about the future of radio broadcasting with Nico Perez of Mixcloud.
Our dream and our sort of like ambition for Mixcloud is great radio for everybody.
We'll be learning about how even the Chinese are putting their audio in, setting up their own station in Finland. And this week's independent recommendations will also have a topical twist. We go to community radio station Resonance in London to hear about the programmes that have got them excited.
Resonance's particular ethos is towards the more experimental, the more arcane pieces of audio.
That's here on Culture with me, Robert Bound, on Monocle 24. Well, thanks for tuning in. There are lots of songs we could kick off with today, but of course we had to start with something that was radio-ish. This is REM. What's a frequency can? That was What's the Frequency, Kenneth by REM, and you're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound, on Monocle 24. And thank God I'm not in the studio on my own. Today we're celebrating the joys of radio, and I'm joined by UK broadcasting legend Trevor Dann, who smirks at the title UK broadcasting legend.
It's absurd. I'll take it if it's on offer.
And by Matt Deegan, creative director at Folder Media.
Hello.
Thank you very much both for coming in.
Pleasure.
So this is sort of like a bit pop elite itself. It's like meta radio talking about radio. I hope it's not, we can't be self-indulgent, but I did want to ask you both why you were attracted to coming into a radio station that you might not have heard of and come in and talk about the medium that you're both involved in and that you love.
Well, I can answer that very simply by saying that you represent all that's great about the audio and radio industry, which is you're a new method of distribution. You know, you're a creator, a producer, you're a kind of aggregator, you're a new distribution channel, and you are absolutely at that cutting edge of creating what is a really exciting new industry. It's got a very old name. It's called radio. It's kind of a century old, but it's very modern and very cool, and I think we're all, you know, very lucky to be still in it.
And Matt, well, I mean, it'd be nice to talk briefly about how you both started off and where the fire came from to get involved in the medium of radio in the first place. Well, how about you?
I was a poor quality student radio DJ who in my head I was going to be Chris Evans and quickly realised that perhaps that wasn't going to be the case. But kind of got involved in student radio station management. And then I bid for a licence in a kind of crazy youthful way and then worked for a large radio group doing the same thing. I ended up working at GCAP, which was Capital and Classic FM, doing group strategy stuff. And then we learned a lot of things that were happening and changing. And we thought we could carry on doing it here or maybe leave and advise other people about this stuff that we've learned. So we now work with a whole variety of companies from big media conglomerates like IPC and Time Warner right down to little small radio stations who are just trying to start up on digital radio.
All right, and Trevor, we're going to have to introduce our listeners because we're an international show. We're going to have to introduce our listeners to you. And you were the founding director at GLR, which is Greater London Radio, which is now BBC London, and in charge of Radio 1, in charge of entertainment policy for for the BBC or radio policy for
the music BBC. Entertainment, yes.
Yeah. And many great names have passed through your studios, as well as you being the overriding great name that controlled all of those.
I'm very flattered to hear all this stuff, Rob, but do calm down. I mean, I grew up in that world, which is long gone now, of listening to Radio Luxembourg under the bedclothes, yeah. And then pirate radio in the 1960s. And the whole magical world that opened up for you then as a teenager, it's very hard to capture now. But I think what's changed in all the time that I've been at it is that radio was something that was owned by them and broadcast at you. And now we often call it audio now, but it's radio. It's a much more democratized world. And I've been a gatekeeper. You know, I've been one of those people who said, I will make you a star, you know, because I kind of owned a piece of real estate on a transmitter. But you don't have to do that anymore. You don't need a me as was. You can be a Matt as was, and you don't just have to go on student radio. You make your own little program, can't you? You just put it on the internet, and people will find it, and off you go. Fantastic.
All right, well, Trevor's going to illustrate what he means with a little bit of audio that you brought in. Maybe you could introduce this, Trevor.
Well, I have. Your producer asked me if I'd bring in a piece of radio that mm-hmm. I think is particularly terrific. This is a piece of radio which has never actually been broadcast, but it's been made by the Guardian newspaper. It's made by a very talented woman called Francesca Panetta. And she, in her spare time, makes a weekly podcast about the area of London that she lives in, which is called Hackney, East London. And this is an example of a soundscape, which is something that she does a lot of. There's no explanation of what's going on here, but basically it's a portrait in sound of a particular part of Hackney, a particular road that you'll hear them talk about. And it's just, it's a journey in sound. And I don't know what radio station would ever broadcast this, but it's absolutely brilliant. And you don't have to concentrate, you just have to drown in it.
What road are we on?
Kingston Road.
Kingston Road?
One Kingston Road.
That's done, Kingsland Road.
CA10 going through Hackney.
Kingston Road.
Shoe shops, sports shops.
Markets.
A chicken and chip shop.
Lots of building work going on. It's a normal Saturday in Dalston.
Kingston Road. Kingston Road.
Black man, white man, every kind of man.
You know, there's every kind of people are living in this area. You know, there's Nigerian and Ghana people.
Well, Kingston Road is probably one of the most multicultural roads in London, which makes it such a glorious place.
Kingston Road.
Definitely busy.
Fuzzy.
It's busy all the while, and you know, but get it better.
I've been around here for over 20 years, and it's busy.
Busy.
Busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, you know that. That's very nice. You know, that's business point of view. That's very busy.
Busy.
Busy, busy, busy.
Busy.
Busy, busy, busy. Busy, 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 busy.
Too much people bungle up one place.
Chaotic, fun, maddening, dirty, lively, sunny. It's Dalston.
There's lots of lunatics around trying to save people's souls. Lots of people handing out leaflets.
It's very, very traffic heavy because it's the A10. It's changing, they're building new tower blocks again, so the slums of the future are coming.
There's a real problem about Kingsland Road. Most of the people who live in it are very, very poor. Many of them are unemployed. That needs to change and change very quickly.
It's a dump, it's a shit place, and it's dangerous. And if I could get out of it, I would.
No, it's vibrant. Nowhere else like it, I suppose.
It's a mess. It's brilliant and it's heaven and it's hell at the same time.
It's a privilege living here.
Take a trip through the land of Kings to where the children of the Jagos playground begins. But we start in Stamford Hill where the orthodox chillax. Wherever the weather in their thick black layers and felt fedoras. Uncut sideburns carrying tourers.
Well, that was Trevor Dan's... Who was that again? That was for the Guardian newspaper.
Well, it wasn't made for the Guardian. It's made by the woman who runs the Guardian's audio business. But that's just a piece of work she did privately. Well, I think just what that does is it points away, because of modern digital editing techniques, and because you don't need those gatekeepers, you don't need a commissioning editor anymore to say that's not good enough or that, you know, do it in a different way. You can just experiment. And I think that's the sign of a really vibrant medium.
It's that lovely richness of voices. You don't need a commentary telling you where you are. It's just the, you know, hearing a Jamaican accent, hearing a Bangladeshi accent or whatever it is. Presumably, voices are presumably why you guys work in the medium as well, Matt.
Yeah, I think it's interesting listening to that clip. I think there's also a knock-on effect of all this digital production that's out there and podcasts and streaming, actually pushing back to regular radio and regular radio having to slightly rethink what it does because it's now in a different competitive marketplace.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that's changed in the last, I think, 5 years is that entire industries within radio, really, entire businesses, have been built on underestimating the public. There's been...
Television always seems like it underestimates the IQ of the public.
All the time. And I think we can be intellectually robust here. We can be creative. We can do some kind of smart, kind of clever things.
Well, earlier we caught up with Danish broadcaster Timothy Hinman to learn a bit about his radio project, Third Ear Radio. We asked him why he loves the medium so much.
Third Ear Radio is a website in Denmark, mostly in Danish, I might point out. But mostly it's a site where we've been making what we call radio features, which is long-form radio stories, and putting them out for podcast and doing it in a way that's maybe a bit unusual for that kind of material.
So what's the sort of material? Because podcasts are all sorts of things. Normally, for a lot of stations, they're sort of the greatest hits of that station, aren't they? Or they're very speech-based. So how do you do it at Third Ear?
Yeah, well, it's kind of odd because, I mean, I'm actually originally from England, but I moved to Denmark 15 years ago, and I discovered this amazing tradition they have in Scandinavia for this kind of radio storytelling, which I'd never really heard before. These originally really rather long, very slow, but very beautifully made radio stories, portraits, documentaries mostly. That's the kind of traditional background, and what I've been doing is working in that for some years, and kind of slowly it's developed and changed a bit. They don't make it so much on the radio anymore because it's a kind of a luxury product. It's, you know, the stuff we make takes a really long time to make. It's really a bit... So it's the closest association. It's a bit like a documentary film, but without any pictures. So lots of nice sound, lots of nice music, lots of careful editing, all of that sort of stuff. Stuff that takes time, basically. Though it's a kind of a slow radio, is what we call it.
Is there a difference? Do you think the appetite has changed? So it's up to you to put something like this out there and for people to sort of come to it.
Our audience are predominantly younger, who actually experience this as something brand new. They've never heard anything like this before. And it's because of technology. You know, radio has always been sort of driven by new technologies and, you know, what have you. But it's because now we can do these pieces that we know that people listen from the beginning, which is a really kind of a new idea for radio, because most people listen to radio while they're doing something else, or they miss the first 5 minutes or the last 10 minutes or whatever. When you're making a podcast, you know that people usually start from the top. And that means you can rethink the form a little bit. You can sort of make things a bit more fanciful. You can make a lovely grand narrative sweeps and all of that kind of stuff. And it really works.
So do you have the idea that, I mean, you know, obviously people, as you say, one of the joys of radio is almost people say you can do something else while you're doing it. You know, the classic thing is you can do the ironing while you're listening to something.
Yeah, as is good for ironing.
While you're doing it. But it's a strange thing. I always feel that although that's sort of true, it's slightly taking away from the thing of actually sitting down and listening to it as you would a TV show or something. But is that something that you feel that, you know, people might actually just be sitting on a sofa with a glass of wine and listening to one of your shows?
But they always do the sort of things you can do while you listen. That's why long journeys are great. You know, it's a really nice way to spend your time. Some people like to go jogging with listening to our stuff. I know that we have people. One guy, he said, I just got back from Africa. I was flying across Africa in a little two-motor plane and listened to your stuff. It was great. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of an ideal listening situation if you can afford it. You know, that sounds good.
I wanted to ask you sort of about the medium itself. As a sort of powerful medium, it's quite an intimate medium. And what does it give you, Tim, particularly? What's your attraction to it?
Yeah, well, there's some things you can do best on radio and only on radio. They work better there than in any other medium. And usually it's a kind of a up-closeness you can get. Mm-hmm. And it's a part to do with the process of how you talk to someone. And you get very close in a real situation. We're not usually in studios when we make our stuff. You know, we're out there where people are doing what they do or living where they live. And it is a kind of intimacy that you get with this kind of radio that you don't get very often with television. And I think that's its real strength. And it can really move people to, you know, hopefully tears of laughter and joy, which mostly daily radio doesn't do for you. This sort of stuff can really move you emotionally, which I find really interesting.
That was radio obsessive Tim Hinman from Third Ear Radio in Denmark. And he's doing something, as you were talking about before, Trevor, which is that thing of doing something that would never really be commissioned, even on Radio 4 or the World Service or even on the other international radio stations that have those long-form things. And I presume that's that thing. I wanted to talk about the division of sort of voice of God broadcasting. Mm-hmm.
I think that too much commercial radio around the world has come to be run by people who may understand money but don't understand radio. And I think too much public service broadcasting, speech broadcasting, has come to be run by people with a very narrow idea of what journalism means. There's too much kind of focus on bulletins and facts and reports and analysis and people telling us in a rather old school kind of way what we should think. And I think radio at its best is about a conversation. And I don't just mean a phone-in. I think it's about, you know, I make something and I stick it on Audioboo or Mixcloud or Soundcloud. And then you make something and Matt makes something and we all kind of listen to it. And it's not so much, I don't think, anymore about us being broadcasted at.
I think also people, listeners, use all their different types of media for different reasons now. And there are still a large amount of people who might be listening to NRJ in France or Z100 in New York or Capital in the UK, where actually they just want to stream a music. They don't really have to think about that. They can just turn on and consume. But a larger and growing chunk of people are also tuning around the dial, getting services online to fulfil personal needs. And that might be because they've got a very specialist music interest, or, you know, they might be a farmer and they want to get particular information about that, which they can do so now. Whereas previously, constrained spectrum, i.e. there's only a certain number of FM or AM licences in any country, meant that you couldn't get down to that level.
All right, well, we're going to head off now to listen to another package. This is Nico Perez from Mixcloud, which is a website that essentially brings together loads of podcasts, radio shows and DJ mixes in one place. It's an aggregator. This is a sort of, we think anyway, an example of one of these things that's going to be possibly the future of radio.
Mixcloud essentially is an online radio platform. The concept is very similar to YouTube. So it's all on-demand radio rather than the traditional sort of live broadcasting. And it's free for people to upload, whether it's their radio shows, their DJ mixes, podcasts, and it's free for people to listen to as well.
And how did this start out? Because you made mixtapes and you DJ and things like that, I think, and you've been a radio presenter as well, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. So we at university, along with two friends of ours, we used to host a radio show called The Get Down Show on the Cambridge University Radio
Network. What's it called? The Get Down Show?
The Get Down Show.
Okay, I like that.
And we did that for a couple of years. And at the same time, we were DJing, student parties, etc. And then about sort of 2 years later, we realized it was frustrating to find good radio shows or good DJ mixes, or good podcasts on the internet because it was so spread out. Uh-huh. So that's when we started Mixcloud in sort of, quit our jobs middle of 2008. We don't actually do any real world or digital marketing. It's driven entirely by word of mouth, by the DJs and the radio presenters who upload something and say, hey, come and check it out, go listen.
How do you monetize this? That's the...
It's tricky. At the moment, we haven't really focused too much on that side of things. We're doing display advertising, and that's working okay. We're also doing some more integrated campaigns. But going down the line, you know, there's other ideas we have around sort of the ecosystem that we've built on the site and having people maybe be able to pay for a sponsored listing on the top of the funk page or mm-hmm. on the top of the comedy page.
And what is top of the pops at Mixcloud?
It sort of changes maybe once every day or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, predominantly right now, we're very strong in the music, especially the electronic music space.
Right.
So we have DJs like John Digweed, Carl Cox, Paul Oakenfold, Soul Clap, a bunch of sort of electronic DJs are very popular on the website. And what we're trying to do now is sort of grow outside of that vertical to talk radio, podcasts, mm-hmm. Comedy, sports, things like that.
This sounds very much like it represents a part of the future. No one knows what that's going to be. But I mean, do you also get the sense that people like a bit of curation, that people like to be sort of led?
Yeah, I mean, on a sort of Cloudcast level, this site is entirely about curation. It's entirely about a human enthusiast or expert recommending whether it's music or knowledge or lecture and putting that together and curating it for an audience. But then on the sort of level of the platform, we've tried to stay relatively agnostic and say, you know, although we like certain types of music and certain types of shows, we're going to try and like open it up to everybody and just let the crowd decide, essentially. Our dream and our sort of like ambition for Mixcloud is great radio for everybody, right? So no matter who you are, what your tastes are, what you like, we want to be able to connect you with the people producing the best type of radio for you, the relevant, and then provide you with a great listening experience so that every day you can come and listen to something that you really enjoy.
Talking of which, you're back with the Culture Show on Monocle 24 with me, Robert Bound. And that was Nico Perez talking about Mixcloud, which now forces us, like with a grapple-like grip, to talk about the future, guys. Matt, I wanted to ask you, I mean, Mixcloud is a sort of is an aggregator of other people's content. Now, is this the sort of thing that you've been working with? Is this looking at the trends and things? Is this something you see as the future?
I think that there's a lot of new internet services that are doing similar things. Mixcloud's been very successful, and SoundCloud do something slightly different, but in a similar space. What's interesting is, can they reach scale? They serve the dance community really well. Mm. Can that broaden and grow? And are there enough people who want to be content creators to that level to create the programming that makes it really consumable? Can you do mainstream online? And that's the challenge for lots of people, I think, because in mainstream, actually what works is big branded content or talent that people feel affiliated to and want to consume. And what we've seen is that there is some global talent who actually can say, I don't need an aggregator, I don't need a radio station, I don't need anything else, because I am Ricky Gervais, or I am...
Howard Stern or someone, I suppose. He went to Sirius.
Yeah,
he took
absolutely.
His name to Sirius.
And he took a lot of audience, and he made a lot of money for himself, but he built that business off the back of his talent. So in the future, he might not even need a Sirius, he might just be able to be there himself and go, you can get me online.
So, Trevor, I wonder if as radio becomes more and more niche, as it becomes more international because of the online element, that maybe talent is not what it was. I mean,
talent is
or is
in
it
charge.
becoming more important?
I think it is.
Right. And,
but I think this is a bit of a web 1.0 expression, but the old trusted guide concept I still think has a big part to play. You know, if I like your magazine, which I do, I'm likely to like your radio station, and I'd probably like your brand of soap if you made one. Maybe you do. I have no idea.
We actually do.
There you go.
Genuinely do.
You're ahead of me.
But I'm going off to do that later. That's why I'm going to mix the vat.
that I think is where. As the internet grows and there's more and more stuff and we can get access to every piece of information and every piece of audio, every song ever written, the role of somebody to help us navigate our way through all this becomes more and more important. It's not unlike your affiliation to a magazine or a newspaper. I mean, a newspaper is probably the best example, certainly in the UK, although their circulations are in decline. We've still got quite a healthy national newspaper world. And... you know, I might be a Guardian kind of guy, you might be a Telegraph kind of guy. We read and buy those newspapers because we feel part of that community. And I think that radio stations could be more like that, and indeed are.
I bought my dad an internet radio for Christmas last year, and we fiddled around with it. And on Christmas Day, we were listening to Christmas carols done on a steel band. We were listening to Silent Night live from St. Lucia on the radio. In terms of internet radio, that's how we survive, and I know that it's how some of your projects survive as well. Is this kind of, presumably it obviously allows people to be very local but international at the same time. Is this a problem, this dichotomy, or do you think it's an opportunity?
I don't think it's a problem at all. I think what's interesting is how you monetize it, because that St. Lucia radio station may have ads for its local businesses, and in effect you're costing them money by listening to it in the UK, and they can't sell you any product. So I think and it's interesting for purely international operators. One of the reasons there aren't many is if you take a brand like Coca-Cola, they have different ad agencies in every territory. It's very hard to buy an ad campaign that runs globally, because agency in Europe's going, well, I don't really care what's happening in Asia because that's on somebody else's watch. And so I think there's a sort of, the world has to shift to cope with the fact we're across borders.
How exciting, though, that we're talking about the future. You know, I've been in radio long enough to remember several times where we didn't think there was a future. We thought that, you know, television would kill us off or the internet would kill us off. Hey, these are great challenges, and they suggest that we're very healthy.
It suggests, weirdly, that also it's always a contemporary medium, because all it is people talking about ideas as they would in any other way. Matt, we're going to have to say goodbye to you now. Matt Deacon, Creative Director at Folder Media, a radio and new media consultancy. Thank you very much for joining us. You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound. We're back after this.
Avant-garde.
Avant-garde. I want to set up something new, not copying somebody.
Basically, we just wanted to express ourselves and don't think too much about other people.
Sometimes it needs to push a boundary.
To see the smoke clearing, but it's a lifetime thing, you know.
You actually have to find something to truly challenge, and that's an avant-garde.
Watch it on www.theavantgardediaries.com.
Every week, Monocle editor Andrew Tuck looks at cities around the world and the people, buildings and open spaces that make up the urban landscape. With interviews and discussions of the spaces and places we live in, The Urbanist is your very own urban audio retreat. That's The Urbanist, premiering every Thursday at 1900 London time here on Monocle 24, and also available on our timeshift player at monocle.com and, of course, on iTunes.
Welcome back to Culture with me, Robert Bound, where this week we're talking radio, and I'm joined in the studio by British broadcasting legend Trevor Dann.
You're still at it.
Come on, it's fine. There's got to be a way to keep you in the studio after your taxi's meant to arrive. And before you go, we're going to play a couple of your favourite things. We're going to play one of your favourite tracks.
Oh, great.
And a favourite, and we're going to have a book corner from you. Which
oh,
we,
wonderful.
But I wanted to ask you about a couple of the moments that have really sort of made the hairs rise on the back of your neck. And by the way, you could give us a couple of examples of things that always made you, you know, want to continue despite some peaks and troughs along the way, right?
Some of the best radio that you hear still to this day is people. And BBC Radio 2 has recently run a series in which the mums and dads of soldiers who've been killed in Iraq or Afghanistan talk about the music that they found on their kids' iPods after they'd been killed. Mm. And these are terribly, terribly moving programmes. And they are just the human voice telling you stuff in the most direct and intimate way. In a way, you know, people were doing that in the 1930s, and it was great then, and it's great now.
So, we all get more civilised and escape our oral culture, don't we? That's what we're told. The birth of the novel and theatre yeah. and everything else. And television was the sort of thing that perhaps changed things around. And now it seems like people are very hungry to hear, to be told stories, to be told the news, to be told whatever it is.
But I agree
purely
with you.
Using that intimate thing, whether you're listening on headphones or it's in your car or you're listening to it in a garage while you're working, it is that the intimacy and the personality, presumably, of the human voice.
Absolutely. And radio, of course, in the form of the podcast, is the most modern thing of all because it's personal and it's portable. And so, you know, one of my favourite podcasts is The Moth. It's True Stories Told Live is their sort of the handle. It's an American podcast. They book rooms and they get people to talk. And you have to tell a story. It has to be true and it has to last less than 10 minutes. Those are the rules. And there's one every week. And they're absolutely lovely. I mean, sometimes they're not very good, and sometimes they're not funny enough, and sometimes they're, you know, a bit too rude. But it's just the most simple form of communication. It's a person's voice talking to you in your head. But it's utterly compelling.
That is Trevor Dann summing up radio, possibly, there. And Trevor, before you go, you've got a song to introduce. Talk us through it very quickly.
This is the best record ever made. Of course, there is no doubt about it. Actually, of course, there is. but this is Bob Dylan at his very best. Brilliant piece of music going on underneath. Al Cooper learning how to play the organ, learning the tune while they're making the record. And just the most brilliant lyrics tumbling out of Dylan's mouth. He doesn't even know what he's about to sing. but it's the most, still the most brilliant piece of music for me. It's Bob Dylan and Like a Rolling Stone.
Once upon a time you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were a friend, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis. Want to make a deal?
That was Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan, as chosen by the one and only Trevor Dann. You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound. Still to come in part two, we link up with a radio station in Alaska to hear about how radio is important to their community. We'll also be finding out about a Chinese radio station that's appeared in Finland and getting some recommendations from community radio station Resonance in London. That's right here in Culture with me, Robert Bound, on Monocle 24. For this week's independent recommendations, we're sticking with our radio theme and heading to the independent community station Resonance FM here in London to hear about what's got them excited on their schedule.
My name's Chris Weaver. I'm the production manager here at Resonance 104.4 FM. Resonance is a radio station licensed under the Community Radio Act. We are a not-for-profit station that's run by volunteers. Resonance's particular ethos is towards the more experimental, the more arcane pieces of audio. So we pride ourselves on broadcasting material that most radio stations would completely neglect or ignore. We've got two studios. The Studio 2 is a kind of, I guess if you was an estate agent, you'd call it a box room. But the majority of the action comes through in Studio 1, where bands squeeze in and perform and go out on air every, practically every day and such.
My name is Richard Thomas. I'm the content manager and news editor of Resonance FM. I come up with ideas for programmes and I commission programmes, or that sounds really grandiose. People phone up, write to me and say, I've got an idea for a programme, and then I help them make it. Well, I'm just trimming a short piece of news blurb for our website tomorrow, our blog. There's a programme at noon called the Hello Goodbye Show, which is a kind of hardy perennial jewel in the Resonance crown that's been going for a long time.
Hello!
Goodbye! Really fun, and what's nice about it is it's very, very open. They seldom have kind of big name guests. They tend to have lots and lots of new sort of bands that last maybe 6 months and split up and so on, and it's really dynamic because of that, and it's quite inclusive, I think, the programme. And it's also got a lot of good energy because they create energy in the studio, because suddenly you've got this problem of having to deal with three live acts that are not necessarily in any way compatible or alike. And it creates a nice sort of dynamism within the studio environment, I think. And that is communicated really effectively on the radio.
If you like this. This.
As she reached out and pulled the trigger.
Or this. Then please tune in.
Small.
Cool check.
Smaller.
Cool check tar.
Smallest.
Cool check Karim.
Six birds to Persia.
These kind of headlines coming out of Iran create all this ambiguity about what it is to be an Iranian woman, because we don't often hear about how women are living despite the state.
I'm very glad that you brought this issue up, because yes, unfortunately, the Iranian government...
Well, there's some great shows on Resonance, obviously. An excellent one dealing with stuff that I like, which is the Bermuda Triangle Test Transmission Broadcasts, which is a program that essentially explores every piece of the transmission chain, from the studio to the transmitter, and attempts to make radio sound art. And it's always very entertaining. Phonographies is a new show by the sound artist Alex Kokowski. Phonographies is essentially wax cylinder recordings of present day artists. So he's been going around concerts and talks and capturing people on these wax cylinders. And this show is a look at these recordings.
I don't really have favourite shows. I think I'm like a lot of Resonance listeners. I like a lot. Also, the other thing is because a lot of what we do is contingent upon voluntary contributions, things happen as and when people can make them happen. I think it's not so much individual shows, it's the overall effect that this multitude of things conglomerate together. It's the idea of it, I think, which is what appeals to people, rather than specific items within it.
That was the weird and wonderful and well-wired sounds of community station Resonance FM in London. I think all the sound effects used in that were part of Resonance's output. We need a few more sound effects, I think, on the Culture Show. I'm getting a nod through the glass. I'm getting a thumbs up through the glass. We need some. Something spooky to keep us going on. You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound, on Monocle 24. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound, on Monocle 24. Well, it would seem that the international reach of radio knows no bounds. And in the wilds of Finland, there now sits a radio station broadcasting Chinese state-sponsored programmes in 14 different languages, as Lizzie Moulton now reports from Helsinki.
Chine Hebdo, Mathieu Jolivet sur BFM Radio.
Bonjour et bienvenue dans Chine Hebdo, le nouveau prix Nobel de la
paix. Ni hao, kära lyssnare. Här hör ni oss, jag är Mikael.
Sitt din bästa vän regnes för uacceptabel uppförsel i de flesta kulturer. Men så är idén om att hunden är människans bästa vän absolut den bästa.
Traditionellt är en man mer värd än en kvinna i Kina. Förbundets formål är
kirjallisuuden professori, joka osallistui vuoden 1989 mielenosoituksen Tiananmenin aukiolla.
You probably wouldn't expect the voice of China in Europe to be broadcast out of a studio in Finland, but that's exactly the case. A 30-person team at Radio 86 in the city of Tampere produces Chinese state-sponsored radio shows and online content in 14 languages, reaching millions of listeners across Europe. Experts say the Chinese government is attempting to exert its influence through the distinctly non-critical programming on Radio 86. But Henrik Ressman, who's the station's vice president, says that's not the case at all.
Actually, I would like to see that our doings are perceived as a possibility to learn a little bit more about China, to have an insight to China. Actually, we are offering a window to China. And I think it goes in both directions. We are offering the window to China, but at the same time, we are also giving the possibility to West to have a sneak preview to China. China has been around for thousands of years, so China has influenced the Western countries for more than 1,000 years. So, hey, I think it's part of communication.
Merci Jean-Louis Roquin. Je rappelle, vous dirigez les ateliers franco-chinois à l'université en sciences sociales.
The station focuses mainly on cultural and travel topics, and you really can't help but notice the lack of anything critical of China or its government. In fact, many experts have said there's good reason to be skeptical of the journalistic integrity of Radio 86's content, as it's partly sponsored by the Chinese government. Some have even gone so far as to call it pure propaganda. Mikael Matlin researches China and its foreign policy at the Finnish Institute of International Affairs, and here's what he has to say.
Well, if you know that a media source is funded by a government, it comes down to a question of whether or not you trust the country's media as a news provider. In the West, China certainly faces an uphill struggle in this respect, given the prevalent image of Chinese broadcast media as being relatively tightly controlled. On the other hand, I can imagine that the reception may be somewhat different outside of the West. After all, there are also plenty of people in the world who are skeptical of some Western media sources, seeing them as touting Western propaganda. So at least to some extent, judging whether or not something is propaganda depends on your vantage point and background. Incidentally, the Chinese word for propaganda, xuanquan, doesn't quite have the same connotation as the English word. It is tended to be used in a more positive meaning as a way, for example, to bring about social changes. Nonetheless, it is increasingly common now in China also to talk about public relations, PR, rather than propaganda.
So I guess the question is really this, is anything and everything that comes out of China going to be perceived by the West as propaganda? Or is it possible that Radio 86 is just one way in which China is trying to introduce itself to the West in a new way? China researcher Mikhail Matlin.
There is a perception in China that there is quite a big gap between how the Chinese themselves view their own country and how China is viewed outside of the country, particularly in the West. China has in recent years been beefing up its cultural diplomacy and so-called soft power resources, for example, through Confucius Institutes and also through increased international media presence. It has committed more money to these ends, probably sensing that if you're not actively involved in shaping your international image, then others will shape it for you. However, one has to remember that China did not invent the wheel, so to speak. Germany has its Goethe Institutes and the US has its Voice of America since a long time back. So from China's perspective, it is not doing anything that others would not have done before it, right? It's just catching up with others.
Yhteistyössä Radio 86.fi, kaikkea Kiinasta.
That was Lizzie Moulton in Helsinki. You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound. We're off to Alaska after this.
Avant-garde.
I want to set up something new, not copying somebody.
Basically, we just wanted to express ourselves and don't think too much of other people.
Sometimes it needs to push a boundary.
To see the smoke clearing, but it's a lifetime thing, you know.
You actually have to find something to truly challenge, and that's an avant-garde.
Watch it on www.theavantgardediaries.com.
For a concise and sharply edited overview of the best clips, quotes, and quips of the week, tune into The Curator every Sunday right here on Monocle 24. Hosted by a different guest editor every edition, The Curator will point you to all the programs you might have missed and is also the perfect digest to the week in world affairs, business, culture, and design. The Curator, in association with Rolex, right here on Monocle 24.
Welcome back to Culture with me, Robert Bound, where we're talking radio. Now, determined to seek out the world's most unique stations, we're going over now to Alaska to crash the breakfast show of Matt Wilson from KSRM Radio on the Kenai Peninsula. I started by asking him what they could see out of their studio window.
We're actually located across the street from a farm here on the Kenai Peninsula. The Kenai Peninsula is located about 2.5 hours south of Anchorage, which is the largest city in the state of Alaska. Uh-huh. And right where we're at, we have a farm on the right-hand side of the street, and then just up the road for us is the one of the largest rivers in the state of Alaska, the Kenai River, which hosts the large king salmon fish. And so we have a view of that, plus the view of the farm, and then, of course, just surrounded by mountains, and this time of year, tons of snow on the ground.
And it seems that, you know, the smaller a radio station is, it tends to rely on it, on what it sees out of its window as some of the stuff that ends up on the radio in the small community. Is that true of KSRM?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are a local company owned by local individuals that started the radio station over 45 years ago. Actually, the owner of the radio station lives in a house out back of the studios. And we are located on one of the large major roads in our area. And so when traffic flow stops or if it gets messed up, we're the first ones on it. And all of our stations, we have five in our group, are all locally run and locally broadcast to serve the about 40,000 people in our area. And, local is what we do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're also the emergency contact point for our area. So anything that breaks here, whether it be an earthquake or a couple years ago, we had one of our volcanoes blow up on us right in our area. The local community depends on us to let them know that's going on because there's no local television. We have one daily newspaper, but when it comes to on-the-spot information, it comes from us.
And a lot of radio stations, big and small, try very hard, well, especially the big ones perhaps, try very hard to have a personality and be part of the community and be a friend to the listener. But you guys really are, aren't you? You're very much part of the community.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whether some of us are part of local service clubs in our community or belong to different school groups and different organizations, a lot of us not only broadcast, you know, on the air, but we also do one thing that we do is high school sports, where we will go out and we'll broadcast our local basketball games and our different local sporting events that our kids are in. We'll broadcast those events on the radio as well as other different local events, whether it be meetings of our local agencies or government officials. All those different events we broadcast or do reports on, so that not only are we a part of that, but we see these folks at the schools every day. We see them in the grocery stores. We see them, whether it be at one of the coffee shops, we see them all over the place.
So the radio is sort of an extension of the rest of the social life of the town, right?
100%. Yeah. If I say something on the air to reference, last summer I was building a deck on my house, and I'd go to the grocery store to buy some milk, and the first person that saw me in the store would say, "So how's your deck going?" And I don't know who this person is, but they know everything about me, and then that's an opportunity to open a conversation to meet that person, that listener that you've never met before, and build those relationships with everyone in the community.
We're actually catching you. We're very lucky to catch you halfway through your breakfast show this morning in Alaska. Now, can you tell us what's been on today's show to give us a flavor of the station and what's on?
Today's show has been about some rain that's coming our way, which is horrible this time of year for us. And so we're preparing our listeners to be ready for what they thought was going to be a weekend of snow turning into a weekend of rain. And then another thing that folks really like to is we read the school lunch menu for our listeners so that they know what their kids can get at the school when they reach there if they choose not to bring their own lunch for the day. These little things that we do add just a special touch to our listeners' lives and gives those listeners the opportunity to know what their day is going to be before they ever get started. And we're probably the only market left in our area where our AM station, which is kind of unheard of now, is number one in the market for 45 years. And so we've got listeners who have so many other choices that they can go to and so many other outlets they can go to, but yet they lean on AM radio every single morning before they start their day, before they go to work. And it's very awesome that they're able to do that.
That was Matt Wilson presenting The Breakfast Show from KSRM Radio on the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska. And you're listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound, in Midori House in London. Well, now it's time for Book Corner. And we've asked our studio guest, Trevor Dan, earlier to choose something this week. And he's chosen A Pain to the Love of Radio by Roger McGough.
I'm the voice that announces you are not alone. I speak your language. I'm homegrown. I'm the gift of the gab, I'm the quiet word, I'm the night watch and the early bird. I'm the cat's whisker, I'm your favourite song, I invite you to dance and to sing along. I'm on your wavelength, on your side of the street, I'm with you in triumph and in defeat. I'm Hillsborough, Hazel, the European Cup, the phantom caller who won't hang up. I'm Bulger and Bigley, I'm floods of tears, I'm the Beatles, the Pope, the smiles and the cheers. I'm the bijou apartment, the sheltered accommodation, the helping hand and the information. I'm your voice, I'm your ear to the ground. I'm the pool of life and the Mersey sound. I'm the cut ribbon, the champagne popped. I'm the close down, the poem stopped.
Now we're nearly at the end of our show today, but there's still time to squeeze in our favourite minute that's been causing confusion, controversy, and occasional raises a little smile too. For our radio special, we asked radio obsessive and occasional Monocle reporter Robin Fogg, now there's a clue to what it sounds like, to gather us a broadcast minute of sound. That was really obsessive, Robin Fogg's 1 minute of sound. And I think we can say it sounded like a very foggy piece of production, that. And I think Robin collects sort of old vinyl records and splices them together and physically cuts things up and sticks them together to make that. Maybe you're honoured, maybe you're just terrified. Anyway, you're still with Culture with me, Robert Bound. So that's just about all we have time for this week. Next week it's Christmas, so we'll be munching on a few mince pies and helping ourselves to a generous tankard of mulled wine. We've got to keep warm in this chilly climate, in this chilly studio, as we explore a few cultural Christmas offerings from around the world. You've been listening to Culture with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Katie Bilbao, my researcher was Hannah Jenkins. Time for one final song this week. Of course, it makes sense.